side. You can lay your worries down and stay with me. Don't you ever leave. Lay down, Sally, and rest here in my arms. Don't you think you want someone to talk to? Lay down, Sally, there's no need to leave so soon. I've been trying all night long just to talk to you. Lay down, Sally, and rest here in my arms. Don't you think you want someone to talk to? Lay down, Sally, there's no need to leave so soon.
With a request for Sally to lay down. That was Slowhand, Eric Clapton on your radio, friend. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, yes, lovable package. Glenn Klein, it is 15 minutes to 11 o'clock, and it is time to get over the hump with our coach, speaker, and author of the great book, Analog Advice in a Digital World, A Baby Boomer's Words of Wisdom for the Millennial Generation. Please welcome back to Community Conversations on WRJN, Coach Rick Jones. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, pal.
So you going to the inauguration?
I am not, but I am going to New York today. I'm sitting in the Charleston airport on my way to New York. So I have meetings all day Friday, which means I can actually navigate New York because Mr. Trump will be somewhere else. The last few trips to New York, trying to navigate Fifth Avenue, has been a disaster.
They have seats available, you know.
Yeah, I hear they do. I also hear there's a bunch of protesters going. I hear there's this monster women's protest group on Saturday, the day after, that's going to come and picket and do whatever they're going to do. So it should be an interesting week and weekend.
The women are expecting a quarter million women to protest on Saturday, but they kicked out a feminist group that, as part of their charter, are pro-life. What do you think about women excluding other women protesting for women who happen to believe in the sanctity of the human life?
Well, I think it's probably extremely hypocritical. You know, so if that's the case, and right now I think in our society we have the deal that you're entitled to your own opinion as long as it's mine.
The boycott of the inauguration, it's over 50 Democratic elected officials who are now boycotting the inauguration because basically on the heels of the civil rights icon John Lewis, the representative from the Atlanta area, saying that he does not believe that Donald Trump is a legitimate president. What kind of damage do you think this could do to the country, Rick?
Well, let me make a first point. Remember, Mr. Trump did say that he didn't think President Obama was a legitimate president because he was not born in the United States. So there's a little bit of tit for tat there. I've known John Lewis for a long time. I grew up in Atlanta, have great respect for him. But, you know, A, I think it's very decisive. I think we have to come together. We have to be Americans right now. Secondly, if you look at the Democratic Party, I mean, they're getting killed everywhere other than maybe New York and California.
And Chicago.
They are just absolutely reeling with losing all the local elections to conservatives and, you know, the state houses, the governorships, all these places. I think they're making big mistakes right now. They're preaching to their base, which is getting smaller and smaller every day.
I have made the case on this quality broadcast on numerous occasions and in social media, appealing to the Democratic and progressive beautiful humans out there to get their act together. It's not working. I'm not a conservative. I'm not a liberal. I have very conservative views on certain things. I've got very liberal views, more liberal than most liberals on certain issues. But if there's one thing that I know is that the thing that has made this country great and makes us great as individuals and as organizations or institutions is competition. And if the Republicans don't have competition from the Democrats as a loyal, with the emphasis on loyal opposition, this country is really going to be hurting. Forget about the Democrats. That's bad enough. But the country as a whole needs somebody to have a credible answer to what the Republicans are saying, as valid as their solutions may or may not be.
I agree. I think the ultimate success of America depends on our ability to compromise, and you only compromise if both sides have legitimate arguments. And right now, I'm not sure either side right now has a legitimate argument. So we can't have the Republicans do what President Obama did in his first term, which was basically take a majority and cram all sorts of legislation down everybody's throats without having any discussion with the other party, and the Republicans can't do that either right now. But the Democrats got to meet with them. I mean, and part of the meeting with them is show up for the inauguration. I mean, put on your big boy pants, grow up, suck it up, and do the right thing.
And speaking of big boy pants, we have a soon-to-be president who you could not consider an adult. The way that he behaves is an absolute tragedy. I cannot believe that this guy is going to be president. And yet, if he was smart, and I'm not saying that he wasn't successful. I'm not saying that he didn't make a lot of money. I'm not saying that he hasn't gathered a number of good people in his cabinet. What I'm saying is his behavior is immaturity personified. What he should do is pick up the telephone, call John Lewis, and say, can we clear the air? I need your help in the urban inner cities. And for the sake of the country, for the sake of the urban communities in our nation, can we come together? Will you work with me? Will you reconsider, not for my sake, but for the sake of the United States?
Well, you're describing what a reasonable and prudent man would do, or as we like to say, what a grown-up would do. We're not sure we had either a reasonable or prudent or a grown-up about to be inaugurated as the President of the United States.
I saw the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, on TV yesterday, and he was making the argument that, number one, Trump is not going to change, and I absolutely agree with that. The man is 70 years old. When he takes office on Friday, he will be the oldest man ever to sit in the Oval Office as an incoming president. He's not going to change. But what Newt Gingrich said was that this has worked for him. What does it say about our country that this approach has worked, or does it say more about the opposition and the feckless policies of not only President Obama, but the Republicans that were in power prior to that?
Well, clearly, we've got lots of issues as a country, and people voted in many ways just for something new. You know, I remember the... it didn't work, but you remember the Clint Eastwood speech at the Republican convention when they nominated Mitt Romney, where he talked to the empty chair, basically saying, I think we need somebody else sitting in the chair. And I think, you know, and not taking anything away from Barack Obama's movement, but a lot of that vote was an anti-Bush vote after 8 years. It was an anti, you know, war vote. And so we voted against the last decade more than voted for. Does that make sense?
Yes, but it was also a massive turnout amongst the African-American community and the young, which did not turn out for Hillary Clinton. We always elect at the top of the ticket the man or woman who we want to go out and have a beer with every single time. But if you look down below the leader of the ticket, the Democrats... So of course, Obama, you're going to want to go out and have a beer with versus Mitt Romney or John McCain. Same thing, Bush with Al Gore or John Kerry, and Trump versus Hillary, even though Donald Trump doesn't drink. But you could drink. He probably would pick up the tab as well. But underneath that, lower on the ballot, are Democrats, the programs that the Democrats are putting out are not working, and there's only four states in the whole country where Democrats control the governor's mansions and both houses of the state legislature. What could the Democrats do, Rick, to come back towards center when they don't seem like they want to do it. All they want to do is fight against Trump, and he's giving him a massive orange target to shoot at.
Well, again, in fairness, the Republicans did absolutely nothing to work with Barack Obama, and I'm a Republican. I felt that was just the wrong thing to do, and so, again, it's a little bit of tit for tat. I do believe this. There needs to be a balance, and a balance comes from dialogue and discussions and compromises, and there seems to be none of that going on right now. And part of the problem is we as a society get so insulated. We surround ourselves with people that think and act and are like us. And so we start thinking everybody thinks and acts, like us. There have been some comments the other day. Meryl Streep's speech the other night where she, basically said, if we don't have the arts, we're just going to have football and boxing or whatever it was.
Mixed martial arts.
There are a lot of people that like football. There's a lot of people that drive pickup trucks. There are a lot of people that do things. And I think both sides need to understand what makes our country great are the unique differences of our people. We've talked about this before, the gumbo. The gumbo makes America great. And we got people right now that seem to not like, they don't like salt, they don't like shrimp, they don't like tomatoes, they don't like whatever. And that's becoming a problem. It's preventing us from letting the gumbo be great.
He is the major gumbo advocate, Rick Jones. He's in an airport. What's the airport in Charleston called?
The Charleston International Airport.
Oh, it's the Charleston International Airport. They could come up with a better name than that, I would think. But
probably, but they haven't so far.
Rick came up with a great name for his book. It's called Analog Advice in a Digital World. We talk about it every week. It's 52 chapters, about one page each. And what we recommend is you get this for your millennial because it's a baby boomer's words of wisdom for that millennial generation. And just suggest they read one chapter a week, like we do on the radio. They can think about what's in the chapter all week long. After a year, they've got an entire book read, and they will be much the wiser if they do it. We are on chapter 50 this week, and it's entitled, If You Don't Have Anything on Your To-Do List, Then You Don't Have a Job. Occasionally, our lists can overwhelm us. There are some days when we simply don't want to get out of bed and face the world. One Sunday morning, a man told his wife that he did not want to go to church. His wife said, you need to get up and go. The man said, but no one likes me at church. Everyone's always talking about me behind my back, and nobody ever listens to a word I say. That might be true, his wife said, but you're the preacher, so get out of bed. In my very first teaching and coaching job out of college, Rick writes, I once whined to the school's headmaster that I wished for just one day without anything on my to-do list. He laughed and replied that the day I did not have anything on my list would be the day I did not have a job. Touché. Count your blessings, then count your to-do list items and knock them off one by one. You talk about some practical advice. Making a list of the things you have to do and knocking them off. There is such a sense of accomplishment when you finish that list.
Do you think Donald Trump has a list?
No, I know he doesn't. I read his book. Remember that scene in Patton when Patton beats Rommel for the first time in the big battle and Patton's all full of himself and he says, Rommel, you magnificent bastard, I read your book. Trump's book, and he flies by the seat of his pants. He doesn't make lists. He doesn't organize. He doesn't know what's going to go on in the day, and it's worked for him. But generally speaking, I would not recommend it to the beautiful humans.
There's a wonderful issue of Time Magazine this week about the complexities of working in the White House. And how many layers of bureaucracy you have and all the things that have to happen, that's required reading for everybody. To see from a very wide variety of people that have worked in both administrations, both in the Bush administration and the Obama administration, about what really, really happens and how you really, really get things done. So it's going to be interesting. I guess the biggest winner of all in this is Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I thought you were going to say me.
They have great content.
I thought you were going to say me and my colleagues in talk radio. We're the biggest winners.
Well, y'all going to have some fun, too.
We're having fun with Rick Jones. He is the author of the book Analog Advice in a Digital World, A Baby Boomer's Words of Wisdom for the Millennial Generation. It's available at Amazon.com, at AdvantageFamily.com, at Rick's own website, FishbaitMarketing.com. So what are you headed to New York for?
This is a week of with the media companies. We you know, we work for the company Warner Ladder, a great company out of Greenville, Pennsylvania, that makes the ladders that we use to cut down the nets in March Madness. And they also make truck boxes, WeatherGuard truck boxes, and we have them involved in rodeo. So we have them involved in college basketball, pro football, and rodeo. And so we're meeting with all the media people, CBS, ESPN, Westwood One this week up there. Should be fun. Looks like it's going to be mild weather in New York, which I'm thankful for because I'm leaving today 72 degrees and blue skies in Charleston.
Had to rub it in, didn't you?
I had to, yes. All right, I just want to say to all your listeners that Green Bay's had a great year, but my Falcons are going to take care of them.
Whoa.
I wouldn't get away with that one.
What do you want to bet down there in Charleston?
We need to bet something. Yeah. What would be something we should bet, Glenn? Let's bet. I will find the time to see you wearing a Packers jersey, and you will find time to see me wearing a Falcons jersey, depending on who wins.
You mean the exact opposite? I'd have to wear the Falcons. Yeah. You'd have to be in the Packers.
Correct.
Done.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
Safe travels to our friend and coach and author Rick Jones, headed up to the city that does not sleep. WRJN doesn't sleep either. We cover the world 24/7.
Confirmations, commutations. I'm Chaz Henry. A number of potential new cabinet members are undergoing confirmation hearings today.